إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make dhikr. And He said, verily, dhikr is beneficial for the mu'mineen. Inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make dhikr and He said that dhikr is beneficial. Now what is dhikr? Inshallah, we will do a series of this on the adhkar that we do after the fard salah. So first of all, the adhkar after fard salah are sunnah muakkada. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it after every fard salah. Therefore, it's important for us to do them. Now in those adhkar, we have the tasbih fatimi, which is subhanallah, alhamdulillah and allahu akbar 33 and 34 times. Now, if you think about this and say, what is dhikr? Dhikr is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, out of all His attributes and out of all His asma wa sifat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose some that He, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to specifically use. Now, we can use any of them, but specifically Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to use some of them. And the first of them is Subhanallah. Subhanallah is a exclamation, it is a praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a reminder about the purity and the beauty and the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah is something that we say involuntarily when we see anything great, anything beautiful. And therefore, when we say Subhanallah, it is important that we reflect on this. And this is a standard reminder for any kind of dhikr, that we focus on that term that we are using, that we concentrate on it, that we reflect on it, that we see how it reflects in our own life. And when we say Subhanallah, say it in a very, in a way where it reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it reminds us of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then take that dhikr out with you throughout the day. Focus only on that one word, on that one term, on that one phrase, Subhanallah. Everything that you see around you, smallest to the greatest, focus on it. Consciously see it and say Subhanallah. And say, see the glory and majesty of Allah. How did He create this? How does He keep this in motion? How does He keep it going? What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does? And keep that Subhanallah in your heart and in your mind for that period of 24 hours. And then tomorrow we'll look at the next one, which is Alhamdulillah. So focus on the Subhanallah and say, what is this Subhanallah reminding me of? When you look at the mirror, say Subhanallah. When you look at your family, say Subhanallah. When you look at your business, say Subhanallah. When you look around you, whatever you see, say Subhanallah. See a tree, see a leaf in the tree. This is how you train your children also. Take the small children, show them a tree. Help them to see the beauty of that. Don't just look at the tree. What is this tree? What is a tree? A tree is a freestanding, oxygen generating, energy producing, carbon dioxide cleaning, self regenerating, self reproducing machine. That's what a tree is. And I'm trying to think of what else. Many, many, many other things. We just said tree. What is the meaning of tree? If there were no trees, we would die. We would simply cease to exist if there were no more trees on the face of the earth. Because there would be nothing to take away the carbon dioxide, there would be nothing to produce the oxygen. Just one element of trees. And there are so many more. So when we look at the tree and we say, Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this system, where He created a system to generate oxygen. Who needs the oxygen? Not the tree, we need it. We need the oxygen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that oxygen for us. So subhanallah. See the glory and majesty of Allah. Who needs rain? Trees transpire. Trees take the water from the ground and then let it out into the air. A process called transpiration. Who needs that rain? Without that rain, once again the same issue. Without that, we would not survive. So subhanallah. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this? So, and that's one, only one thing. Then trees are the habitat for birds and insects and so on. And then when the tree dies, it turns into compost and that becomes the base substrate for other trees to grow. Just think about one simple thing. If a human being dies or any mammal dies and it's left there to rot, it stinks. But leaves fall around us all the time, trees fall, trees die, you go into a forest, there's no stink. You only see, you smell the earth. What would happen if leaves also decomposed in the same way like mammals or human beings? You would not be able to breathe. You literally would not be able to breathe. What do you say about this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Say subhanallah. Ajib the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create all these things? What does He do? How does He do? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make us mukallaf to actually upkeep all these things. Definitely we are responsible for the environment, we are responsible for protecting it, we are responsible for doing what we can, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us the responsibility of ensuring that all the trees have water, that they have manure and so on and so forth, and all the birds have food. It's not our job, right? And what if it was our job? So this one subhanallah, and I'm just thinking, only one subhanallah. This one subhanallah takes you wherever. I mean, it takes you a lot of places. Including, for example, apart from nature, look at technology, for example. You know, every time somebody invents a new gadget, I mean, I'm very technology oriented and I love gadgets. So, anytime anyone invents a new gadget, I always think to myself, subhanallah, imagine the brain of that guy. How did he invent this gadget? I was recently in Bangladesh and we went to this very beautiful, very, very lovely factory. I love seeing factories. So this friend of ours, he has this business of the manufacture very high-end clothing. And they have end-to-end. They start with the bale of cotton and they end up with a, you know, Tommy Hilfiger shirt or whatever. I mean, so this is end-to-end. So the cotton, and then they take the cotton, the cotton spins into yarn and then into cloth, and the cloth and all that's one. Very, very beautiful and very, very, very well kept factory. So when I went there and I see all the machinery, I was thinking to myself, now what must be in the mind of that engineer who invented that machinery, which takes a bale of cotton and a series of machines and converts it into a shirt. I mean, imagine all the number of machines that are there in between. What about the person? I mean, today we are looking at, we buy the machine, we operate the machine. What about the guy who made the machine? I mean, there was nothing. What was in his mind? How did he conceptualize that this is what is needed? Now, who gives that mind to that person? So, subhanallah, ajeeb Allahi khudrat. So, even in inanimate things, in machinery, in technology, in gadgets and so on. Just think about that and say, what is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khudrat? It's a subhanallah. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this? So inshallah, this is for today for us. Just think about subhanallah and try to see how many times in the day you can remember the subhanallah and how many times in a day you can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us and help us to do this I remember a story that one of my shuyukhs said, told me, I don't know from which book he got it, so don't ask me for the origin, but alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful teaching story. He said that Sulaiman alayhi salam was going somewhere with his, on his flying machine, you know, followed by his army of jinns and so forth. And there was a man, a farmer, poor farmer, who was standing down there on the ground. And he saw Sulaiman alayhi salam flying through the air. So he said, Subhanallah. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to hear it, and he landed in front of that farmer and he said, what did you say? So the poor man, he got frightened. He said, Ya Nabi Allah, I didn't say anything wrong. You know, I just saw you flying through the air and I said, Subhanallah. He said, no. Sulaiman alayhi salam says to the man, he said, you didn't say anything wrong. I just wanted to verify what you said. He said, that one Subhanallah which you said is worth more than everything which I have. He said that one Subhanallah which you said is worth more than everything that I have. So this is the lesson about the Subhanallah. That one Subhanallah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith, he said that when a person will sit in his Jannah, and may Allah keep us among those, inshallah. And he said he will feel a beautiful, fragrant breeze from somewhere. So he will ask the khuddam, the, you know, people his servants, he will ask them, where is this breeze from? So they say to him, this breeze is from the Jannat, which is above you, one level above you. So the man says, Subhanallah, this man, whoever it is, whoever is in that Jannah, he must have done a lot of good things and so on, and you know, his amal must be much more than mine. They said, no. His amal are not much more than yours. So he said, what did he do to get this Jannah one step above mine? They say that he said, Subhanallah, one time more than you. That's it. Nothing else. He said, his amal and your amal are exactly the same, equal. But he said, Subhanallah, one time more than you. And the adal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if somebody says Subhanallah once, for him, he has to get more. So he gets a Jannah one step above that person. And that is one of the things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the only thing that the people of Jannah will regret is that they wish that they had done more dhikr of Allah. There's nothing to regret in Jannah. But they will say, I wish I had said Subhanallah. I mean, obviously, if you're there and you're seeing something else, you say, one more Subhanallah would have got me there. So imagine. Now we have the chance to say not one more Subhanallah, but a million times more Subhanallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and enable us to do that which is beneficial for us, and to help us to understand the beauty and value of this Subhanallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.